So this week we are Misayim Chumash Amos with Parshayos VeYakel Pikudai. First part of the shiur, we'll be on the beginning of Parshas VeYakel. Second part of the shiur, we'll focus on the very first pasuk in Parshas Pikudai. The shiur tonight is dedicated Le'ilui Nishmas Rav Moshe Yitzchak ben Rav Baruch Mordechai HaKoyen. This is the father of our dear friend Rav Kalman Walker, who is a steady participant in this shiur. And Rav Moshe Yitzchak, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow night, Yanuach b'sholom al mishkavoy. The Torah we're learning tonight is Le'ilui Nishmosei, and he should be a Melitz Yosef for his wonderful family, for the children who b'nei bonim Oiskim b'toyru v'mitzvahs, and they should all know simcha and nachas kol hayomim. So many times in Chumash Amos, nitztaveinu al shmiras Shabbos. Once again at the beginning of Parshas VeYakel. VeYakel Moshe's koladas b'nei Yisrael v'yomer aleihem, Eila dvor ha-mashet tzipu Hashem la'asis oisim sheish Hashem ha-mtiyosam alocha v'yomer shish yeh lochem koidesh Shabbos shabosan Hashem kol oisaboy malocha yomas. And then, next posik, Big Chiddush. One out of the Lamed Tes Malachas has a special love. All the others are included in the general prohibition. Loisasu kol malacha. Here the posik says, Loisavaru eish b'chol moshvaseichem b'yoyim ha-shamos. And a chazal, there are different interpretations. Why is Loisavaru Eish different? And why, of all the Lamites that are derived from Asiyas HaMishkan, all the Malachas essential, necessary, in putting up, in the erection of the Mishkan, are defined as Malachas Shabbos, but the only Malacha that has a special prohibition, an explicit prohibition, is Havara, Loisavaru Eish b'chol mishvaseichem. So there's a Machlokes Tanoah. Havora l'alav yatzis. Maybe Havora is different than there is no koras on Havora. Only alav. And that is why it stands apart. Or Havora l'chalak yatzis. And we learn from the lav of Havora that each and every one of the lamites, all the others, are as if they have a special lav. And a person is chayiv if he violated one of the lamites. Each and every one of the lamites is punishable by koras and by mises based in, just like havora is. So two different interpretations why havora stands apart. But tonight we will be discussing the hagdora of meleches havora. How do we define meleches havora? And this is a big machlokes between two of the greatest achronim. Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Banatanya, and the Avnei Nezer. Two great Gedolim, each of them was also a leader of a Hasidic dynasty. The very first Lubavitcher Rebbe was the Banatanya, and the Sechetjever Rebbe, also a Polish Hasidic dynasty that started off with the Sechetjever Rebbe, was the son-in-law of the Kotzke Rebbe. But these two luminaries were not only Hasidic masters and leaders of Hasidic groups, but of the greatest gedolim of their times. So Shulchan Aruch HaRav in Hilchos Yom Tov, Siman Tov Tzadik Hei, in Kuntres Zachron says, two different ways that we might define Meleches Havora. Is it actually the Shalheves, the fire, creation of fire, that is the Malacha, or maybe producing afer, producing ash? Is it the result or what you actually do directly? Is the fire the essence of the malacha? And fire could be a destructive force, but it also has many uses. Fire gives warmth, fire gives light, fire destroys, it consumes. So how would we define malachas mavio? Is it making fire, or is it the end result of the fire and producing ashes? Shulchan Aruch Rav concludes that actually the fire is the essence of the malacha, the shalheves. And he proves that point from three different arguments and sources. Number one, mavir esh, and what he's burning is oil. No ash produced, because he's not burning solids. What he's burning is a liquid, so there is no ash. But nevertheless, milsu de pshita, hamadlik es apsila, is chayev mishum mavir. There is no ash. So this would clearly prove that the malacha is making a fire. And as long as you produce a fire, doesn't matter what fuels that fire, it's Isar Mavio. That's proof number one. Proof number two is the Rambam. Perik Yud Beis Alochalav Melech HaShavis. HaMachamem Es HaMatches Ad She Oseg Echeles is Melech Es Mavio. If you heat iron, steel, till it becomes red, and not necessarily till it becomes red, but you heat a piece of iron, and then it could be used as a heating element. That would be defined as mavir. Once again, argues Shulchan Aruch Rav, no ash is produced. So we must assume, a gacheles shel matches is like a shalheves. It's defined as fire. Because anything that is heated to the degree that it gives out heat and it is used as a source of energy, as a source of heat, is defined as fire. That's proof number two. Proof number three is from Akasha that Tosfos asks twice in Shas. Shabbos Kuvav Amid Aleph, Bavakam Alamid Hei Amid Aleph. When the Gemara says, HaChoyvel V'tzorach LeKalboi, HaMavir V'tzorach LeAforoi, Chayiv. Chayvel and Mavi have something in common. And the Rishonim explain both in Shabbos Kuvav Amid Aleph and again in Bava Kama Lamed Hei, but primarily in Masechet Shabbos. Chayvel and Mavi usually are mekalkel. Chayvel is inflicting a wound, which essentially, by its very essence, is a mekalkel. And the same burning, because fire consumes and fire destroys. But a choyvel chayev im tzorach lekalboy. He wants to feed an animal. Not a herbivore, but a carnivore, which are those animals that eat flesh. And so, choyvel v'tzorach kalboy is defined as a metaken. Mavi v'tzorach la'aforoi, defined as a metaken. Tosfos asks, in both sources, why are they different than a choifer gume ve'enoi tzorach elo la'aforoi, which is a malacha shein sicha legufa and his potter? What is the difference between choival v'tzorach ledam, mavir v'tzorach la'efer, chayiv, choifer gume ve'enoi tzorach elo la'afor? He needs earth. He doesn't need the pit. He doesn't need the hole. He needs earth, he needs dust, he needs the sand. And that is a malacha shein sicha legufa potter. Ma bein zeh lezeh? Argues the Shulchan Aruch Rav, if we would define malachas mavio as producing ashes, of course it's different. Of course it's different. That is the essence of the malacha. Ha mavi v'tzorech la'aforoi, that is malacha shein sicha legufa par excellence. That is the essence of the malacha. So if Tosfos is medame, mavio v'tzorach la'aforoi, to a choyvel v'tzorach la'kalboi, and a choyfer gume v'tzorach aforoi, that proves that efer is not the essence of the malacha. And therefore, it should be a malacha shein sicha legufo. So from Tosfos kasha, Shulchan Aruch Rav proves that mavio is not producing ash, But maybe that is Tosfos Teretz. Whenever you want to prove a point from Tosfos Kasha, first we need to understand what is Tosfos Teretz. So Tosfos is machalek between Chayfe Gomer ve'en etzorach ele la'afar, who is not chayiv, potter, because the essence of Chafira Sagum is not the afar. However, Chayfe ve'tzorach l'kalboy, if he needs the blood, if he needs to remove blood, that's the essence of the malocha, because hadam hu nefesh. And how about mavi v'tzorach l'aforay? Tosfos answers, and we will need a few minutes to explain that answer. But ani makdim et ha'meuchar. Tosfos says, hamavi v'tzorach l'eifor is a malocha tzricha l'gufa, just like hamavior l'tzorach kedero. Like you put on a fire to heat and to cook. It's the same putting on a fire to produce ashes. Maviyah v'tzorech la'aforoi would be defined as a malocha tzricha l'gufa. I think it is clear that Tosfos does not mean to argue that the essence of malachas maviyah is producing afer. Because if that would be Tosfos' explanation, then why would Tosfos say it's similar to mavi letzorech hakedero? It's not the same as mavi letzorech hakedero. Mavi letzorech hakedero is not about producing ashes. He doesn't need ash. He's just taking advantage of the heat to cook. So why would that be the same? So I think the Shulchan Aruch Rav has a strong argument. Tosfos Kasha proves that Mavia is not defined as making ashes. Not producing ashes is the essence of the Malucha. What would the essence of the Malucha be? Fire. It's about the fire. Producing fire, that is Malachas Mavia. And that is why, Yesh Mavia B'Shemen, Yesh Mavia B'Gechel Shel Matches, and that is why Tosfos sees a similarity between Choyfe Guma V'Tzorach La'afor, Mavia v'tzorech la'efer. Why would they not be the same? Soon we will define Tosfos Teretz. Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Sheva Rebbe, Tshuvas Or Chaim Simereish Lamed Ches, says, well, I think the Shulchan Aruch Rav oversaw a third possibility. And the Avnei Nezer argues, Mavia, it's definitely not producing ashes. That is not the essence of Mavia. But maybe it's not producing fire. What is it? Kiloyin. Kilayon. Which means not producing at all, but actually consuming. That is the essence of the Malacha. Kilayon. Lechalot dvarim al yedei ha'esh. And therefore, even Mavia, fueling the fire with oil or with gas. You are consuming. However you fuel a fire, you are consuming. And that is chok shimur ha'energia. So you are consuming. You cannot have fire without oxidation. Producing fire is a form of oxidation. You cannot have fire unless something feeds that fire, something fuels the fire. So the Avnei Nezer says, well, I have suggestion number three. The essence of Malachas Mavi is not producing ashes. Neither is it producing fire. It is consuming. And therefore, Mavi B'Shemen is just like Mavi with solids. Doesn't matter what you're consuming, whether it's solids or it's fluids. But you are consuming. And that is why Tosfos Kasha is, why would it not be defined as a Malacha Shen Tzricha L'Gufo? He doesn't need to consume. He just needs Mavi V'Tzorach La'afori. Why would it be different than Choyfe Gumer V'Tzorach La'afor? How about the Rambam? So, when you're heating iron, steel, other metals, you're not really consuming. Why would that be defined as Mavia? So the Avnei Nezer argues that is why it's Mavua and the Rambam, that it's a tolda of Mavi. It's not the Av Malocha, it's a tolada. So the Avnei Nezer assumes that a toilodo, one of the toldas, does not need to be the same as the Av in its very essence. It could be the same in a way. So most achroinim, based on the lashon of the Rambam, if I could have a Rambam's manim, it would be useful. And by now I think we learned where the Rambams are. If I can have a Rambam's manim, it would be useful. So the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Hei, and once again in Halacha Vav, we do find somewhat of an explanation. What is the relationship between an Av and a Toldah? Why is a Toldah defined as a Toldah of a certain Av? So the Rambam Perek Zayin, Hilchos Shabbos, Halacha Hei writes, HaToldah Hi amalocha doim ala av ma'elo ha'avois. Keitzad. Amachadach ha'se yerek ma'at ma'at levash le'arei zechayet. Shezo amalocha toladah sel toichen. Sha'toichen lokeach guf achad ve'mechalkei mechalko legufim arbe. Ve'kol oi sedover ha'doim ala zeh, tol des toichen. Ha'lokeach loshen shel matches ve'shof oi se kedei lekech ma'afaro. Kederach she'oi sen tzorf ha'zov, tol des tchino. And then he goes on. Hamigabin, Chayv Mishimboine. Shekola Mekabits, Chelek El Chelek Vidova Kakarat, she also go fecho, that is a doim of opinion. Vechele Kol Malocha Vamalocha Ma'elah Ovois, Yeshlam Taldois, Al Derech Zushi Oman. Many Achroinim assumed from this Rambam and from another Rambam Perasha Mishnah Pedaklal Godel and Mesechet Shabbos that a Talda is always similar to the Av in its basic definition. A Toldah must have the essence of the Av. So Toichen is Lokeach Dover Echod Umafrido Rachalakim Ktanim. Boina is Mekabetz Chelek El Chelek Achia Oso Guf Echod. So Boina and Toldah seem to be opposites. So according to the Avnei Ezer, he argues the essence of Mavir is consuming. So how could it be Mavir by Matches? That's why it's a Toldah. But Amechamemis Amateches is not consuming. So it lacks the essence of the Av. How could it be a Toldah? I think the Avnei Ezer makes sense only according to the Minchas Osher. Because I argued very strongly in Minchas Osher, Masechet Shabbos, and in other sources. I think that's a mistake to say that a Toldah must have the essence and the basic definition of the Av. No. I think a Toldah must have one of the characteristics of an Av, not necessarily the basic definition. Just like people, father has children. The basic laws of genetics dictate that children are similar to their parents, but they could be similar in many ways. Sometimes it's obvious that a boy's nose is similar to his father's nose, and his eyes look like his mother's eyes. But sometimes, no, facial features might not be from the father or the mother. Sometimes he'll have his father's brains, his mother's nerves. So every child has something from his parents. It's inevitable. I mean, after all, same genes. But genes could manifest themselves in many different ways. So Toldahs are always similar to the Avos, but they could be similar in many ways. You could have your father's brains, you could have your father's midas tovis, you could have your father's nose or his ears or his height or his many things. The same is regarding Malachas Shabbos. And just to make my point, I say b'derech moshel. Most of us have little kids, had little kids, little einiklach, and little girls come home from gan, and little boys as well, sometimes with a notebook or a sheet. One side of the page there are words, other side of the page there are pictures. Sometimes there are pictures on the right and pictures on the left, and the little girl or boy has to draw a line to associate the pictures on the right to the pictures on the left. So the Rambam says, Hamegabin, the person that makes cheese, Chayev Mishim Boina. I don't think any sensible girl having a picture of a building on the left and a piece of cheese on the right would draw a line between a building and cheese. No sensible girl. If a girl would do that, either her name has got to be Einstein or she needs some examination. No girl would connect a building with cheese. However, if there's going to be a building on the right and a tent on the left, I think a sensible girl or little boy could, you know, draw a line. With what is a building similar to a tent? Well, people live in buildings, people live in tents. A building gives you protection from the elements. A tent does as well. Yes, oil is a toldav boina. A sea of soil is a toldav boina. Oil kvaza diuraisa, oil ara is a shvos. If on the right we have a picture of a bricklayer, and he lays bricks and he's using mortar or cement to connect the bricks. On the left, we have a picture of a cheesemaker. I don't know how you call a cheesemaker, but that's a megaben. And Chazal say a megaben takes chunks out of the sour milk, presses them together. So if you have a picture of a bricklayer, very clear picture, you know, putting together bricks with cement, and in the other column, you have a picture of a cheesemaker. I don't know how to define a cheesemaker, but the picture has a person with one chunk of cheese in his right and the other chunk of cheese in his left, and he's putting them together. Smart kid might draw a line, because melechas ha-megaben doyme le-melechas ha-banai. No, cheese has nothing to do with a building. A tent has to do with a building. No normal kid would draw a line between a tent and a piece of cheese. Both are told us of Baina. Oihel doime le binyan, hamegaben doime le banai. Yo. Cheese is not similar to a building. But hamegaben is chayiv mishum boina, mishum shum alechas, hamegaben doime le malechas ha banai. What I'm trying to prove is, no. A tolda could be similar to the av in many different ways. Sometimes it's the maisa, sometimes it's the result. But they're all toldas. So according to my understanding, yes, a tolda does not have to have the essence of the av or the basic definition of an av. It has to be similar to some aspect and some manifestation of the av, either the result or the way to achieve that result, either the maisa or the teitzah. So according to my understanding in the basic idea of Avos HaToldos, maybe Davnan Ezra would be right, but I think he's wrong because of another reason. All Maluchas Shabbos are about creativity and about creating and building and doing something positive. Consuming is not positive. It is something negative by its very nature. Consuming cannot be defined as a malacha because it's not producing, it's not creating, it's not bringing forth something new. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch Rav didn't even see a possibility of definition number 3 to define malachas mavir as Kiloyin. Kiloyin is destroying. Kiloyin is not producing. The very essence of Malachas Machsheves, which combines all Lametes Malachas, it is the only thing which brings them all together, is the very basic definition of Malachas Machsheves, which is creativity, which is producing, which is creating, which is bringing forth something positive, something useful, something which is a stage to achieve end product. Like Yud Aleph Malachas HaPas starts off with Chodesh and Zoreah and Koitzo and Dosh and Ma'aber and Boiler, Lush, Oifer. Each of those Malachas is an additional stage, a positive stage till you achieve the end product. That is the essence of all the Lametes Malachas. They are all creating and producing something positive. And that is why the Shulchan Aruch Rav only saw two possibilities when we try to define Malachas Mavir. It definitely is producing. Either producing fire or producing ashes, which is the result of fire. But it didn't even occur to him that the definition of Malachas Maiva might be consuming, because consuming is not producing, it's not creating, it's not something creative, it's not something positive, it is something negative in its very nature. And therefore, that cannot be the definition of Malachas Maiva. And therefore, I think the Avnei Ezra isn't right, not because of the way he defines of it and told us. No. Might be reasonable to say, even if Malachas Maiva would be consuming, but heating a metal heating element would be defined as Maiva, maybe it's told as Maiva, because it does have a similarity to some aspect of Maiva. After all, Maiva produces heat, not only consumes. Maiva consumes to produce heat. So maybe Maiva would be defined not as producing fire, but as producing heat, producing energy. And therefore, Mechamem es HaBarzel would be defined as Malachas Maiva. So these are the basic three possibilities, two suggested by the Shulchan Aruch Rav, and he picks one of the two. Number three suggested by the Avnei Ezra, and I think he cannot be right, as I explain. But the Avnei Ezra has an argument, and he brings two rayas, one from Yerushalmi and Shabbos, and the other from the Bavli and Psochim. So the Yerushalmi and Shabbos says that you cannot put on a fire ahead of Shabbos and have it burn on Shabbos, for Loihitchol Avora b'kol tipo v'tipo. And that is where the Yerushalmi explains the Gemara in Beit Sedaf Chov Beis, Shemen HaMetaftef Menaner is also Erev Shabbos. But I don't think this is a raya, because it definitely is an Issa D'Rabbanan. HaMadlik is a ner, I mean, that's the mitzvah of Hadlukas Ner Shabbos. We put on Shabbos candles every Erev Shabbos. So the Yerushalmi deals with a different situation, and that is the sugya in Shabbos Daf Mem Hei at the end of Masechet of Perek Yireh, Shabbos Daf Mem Vav. You cannot have Shemen HaMetaftef L'tor Chaner HaMestapke Mimeno, but that is an Issa D'Rabbanan, so it has nothing to do with the basic definition of Malachas Maiva. But I'm Sochem Daf Hei, when the Gemara deals with the question, the mitzvah of Tashbisu Sor Mebeteichem B'Yoyim HaRishon, and the Gemara says, Yoyim HaRishon cannot be Yom Tov, first day of Yom Tov, Pesach, because Motzinu Lahav Oreshu Av Malacha. So how could you say Tashbisu Sor Mebeteichem is Yom Tov? It's an Av Malacha. So the Avnei Ezra argues, burning chometz is all about destroying. It's all about consuming. And the Gemara says it's an av malacha. If the essence of Malachas Maiva would be producing fire, here, all our intention is destroying the chometz. Why would that not be a malacha she'en sicha legufo? Which proves, according to the Avnei Ezra, no. Consuming, destroying, burning, that is the essence of the malacha. And once again, I have a different understanding. And at this stage, I must explain the teretz of Tosfos. So the Shulchan Aruch Rav proves his argument from the kasha of Tosfos. Tosfos asks, why is Maiva v'tzorach la'efer chayev? Why is it different than choifa gume v'tzorach la'ofer, which is defined as malacha she'en sicha leguf and is potur? Tosfos answers, because Maiva v'tzorach la'efer is just like Maiva Levashel Sakadeira, and therefore Tzorach Legufo. Masha Enkein, Choyfe Goma V'Tzorach La'afar. Tosfos doesn't clearly explain what is the difference. So let me share with you my understanding. Whenever you need the result, you're Tzorach Legufo on the Maisa that brings forth that result, regardless of what the result would be. Kol HaTzorich L'Tzor, Tzarich legoyrim. If you need the result, and the only way to achieve that result is by doing a certain act, you will always be defined as tzorich legufo. And therefore, you cannot cook your dish without fire. I don't really need a fire. I need warm food. But the way to achieve warm food is by putting on a fire. So one cannot say the fire is ein tzorach legufo. Without fire, you can't warm your food. That is tzorach legufo. Without fire, you could have no ash. And therefore, the fire is tzorach legufo. And that is the simplest of assumptions. Kol ha-tzarich le-totza'ah, tzarich le-gorem. And if he needs to put on the fire to achieve the result, that is defined as tzorach legufo. Choyfe guma, le-tzorach ha-ofor, is not defined as gorem ve-totza'ah. It is two sides of the same ma'isa. Putting on a fire to warm your food is, how do you say a goyim in English?
Cause.
Oh, cause and effect. Those are the right definitions. So the fire is the cause. The heat is the effect. The fire is the cause. The ashes are the effect, the result. When you dig a pit and you take out earth, it's not cause and effect. It's two different ways to approach and to define what you're doing. You're digging earth, you're making a hole in the ground. So it's not cause and effect. It's not gorem v'totza'ah. It is different than choyvel v'tzorach l'kalboy, mavi v'tzorach l'aforoy. Because what you do, stage number one, is putting on a fire. The ashes are produced, stage number two. That is cause and result. Cause and effect. The same when you put on a fire to cook your food. That takes time. That's the result. That's stage number two. When I take a shovel and I dig a pit, it's not cause and effect. The pit is not the goyrim of the offer. Two different ways to define what I'm doing. If you need the pit, you're digging the pit. If you don't need the pit, all you need is dust or earth, then you're digging earth. And therefore, if the essence of the malacha is the pit, and I don't need the pit, I need the earth, that is a malacha she'ein tzricha legufo. Kol ha-tzarich le-totza'ah, tzarich le-gorem. So when a person puts on fire, regardless of the reasoning, what he needs that fire for, it would be the same. Whether he needs to cook food or to produce ashes, both are results of fire. If you need the result, you need the cause. Digging a pit? No. The earth you're getting is not the result of the pit. You're doing two things. B'chodeh machta. You're digging a pit. And you're digging earth. You're digging out earth. And therefore, it's not cause and effect. It's not gorem v'totza'ah. So if we define meleches choyresh as digging pits, and that is the iser of choyfer. If he has no need for the pit, all he needs is earth, that is malacha she'ein tzricha legufo. And therefore, when a person puts on fire and he wants to burn chametz, that is a malacha tzricha legufo. The essence of the malacha is not consuming, but is the result. It's the effect. He needs the fire. So it makes no difference whether a person puts on fire to cook food, puts on fire because he needs ashes as part of medical remedies, whether he puts on fire because he wants to burn the chometz, makes no difference what the result will be. He needs that fire because without the fire, he cannot achieve the result he is interested in, and therefore, all would be the same and it does not prove anything. So I think the Shulchan Aruch Arav is right when he says, the essence of Malachas Mavid is producing fire. But I would define it differently. The essence of Malachas Mavid is producing heat. And therefore, a mechamem is a matches. If the matches is defined as a heat source of energy, a heating element, that would be Malachas Mavid. So the modern version of Malachas Mavir, and I do not recall whether I ever dedicated a shiur of Asro Kadisha Hadain in defining electricity. Why would closing an electrical circuit be defined as a malacha? I do not recall. Maybe some of you would recall. So I definitely think, depends what you're doing with the electricity. Using electricity as a heating element in an oven, on an electrical stove, mechamayim samovar, how is that called in English? Mechamayim that we use in our kitchens on Shabbos, an urn, Shabbos platter, any heating element, heating up a metal element would be defined as mavir. Besides the other malochas involved in closing an electrical circuit, but heating an element in its various different forms would also be malachas mavio, because producing heat would be defined as malachas mavio, when the objective and the intention is to produce heat. And therefore, putting on a fire, regardless of what you want to achieve, whether it's bishul hagdela, or asiyas efer, or sreifas chometz, would always be defined as a malacha hatzricha legufa. Because whatever the result might be, if the way to achieve that result is by doing a certain act, that act would be defined as a malacha tzorcha legufo. Choyfa guma ve'en tzorach ela la'afar is different. It's not cause and effect. It's not the goyim and the result. It is two different sides of the same act. And they come bad bevad, b'chode machte. It's not stage one and stage two. And therefore, it would be defined as a malacha she'en One additional point which is essential to the understanding of Malachas Mavia, and that brings us to Beitz Adav Chov Beis. If a fire is on from Erev Shabbos, Hanoisen Shemen Lener Chayev Mishum Mavia, Hamestapik Minaner Chayev Mishum Mechaba. So once upon a time, before Ben Franklin discovered the power of electricity and before Thomas Edison made use of electricity by producing the first bulbs, many years ago, people used oil to light their houses and to produce heat or other types of fuel. So in their fireplaces, they burned wood, and in other devices, they burned fuel and shemen. So a nice and shemen on there. The ner doylek mi'erev Shabbos, but there's not enough oil in the ner, and a person adds an oil into the vessel, chayev mishum mavio. Hamestapik min haner, person is making a mitzvibul for sude Shabbos. He doesn't have any oil left, so he wants to siphon out some oil from the ner. So amestapik minaner moitzi shemen minaner chayev mishum mechaba. Anoisin shemen minaner chayev mishum avio. Machlokes Tosfos and the Rosh Beitz Chov Beis Amud Aleph. Tosfos says, can it be mavio because the candle is going to burn a longer time? Can it be mechaba because it's going to go out earlier? Because that would only be defined as a gram, gram havor and gram kibui. And a Shabbos kufchov from Mitbeis we learn gram kibui is not an issur d'oraisa. It's not even an Isser at all. The same would apply to Havara. So Tosfos says, when you take out Shemen, the fire is diminished. The fire becomes smaller because the Shemen is farther away from the Eish. When you add on Shemen, the immediate result is that the fire becomes bigger. And therefore, that is Mavir and Mechaba. The Rosh disagrees with Tosfos. And the Rosh says, Hanoisen Shemen Lener Chayev Mishum Mavio, even if he's adding on Shemen, not in the actual Kli where the fire is, but even if there's one Kli feeding Shemen into another Kli, and he adds on Shemen to the upper Kli, Chayev Mishum Mavio. And if he takes out Shemen from the upper Kli, didn't affect the fire immediately at all, Chayev Mishum Mechaba. So the Rosh says, it does depend on will it burn longer or will it go out earlier. That is Mavir and Mechaba. Why would that not be defined as Gram? Gram Avor and Gram Kibu, which is not an Isser. So the Rosh says, Gram is only When you do not touch and you did not affect, ner shemen vepsil. What you did is totally external. You're filling up vessels with water and the perimeter around the fire, and those vessels ultimately will break up and the water will put out the fire. That's gram kibui. But when you are adding shemen or taking away shemen, you're doing a ma'isa begufa eish, that would be defined as mavi amachaba. But the question is, why? Why? After all, directly, immediately, you're having no effect on the fire, neither making it bigger nor diminishing it, the fire. So how would that be defined as mavir and mechaba? And this is a relevant question according to all three different approaches in mavir, whether it's producing fire, whether it's consuming, whether it's making ashes. But whatever it is only down the line. It's indirect. It's not right here and now. So why would that be defined as a malach? So I wrote in Minchas Sosher that the Rosh, I wouldn't say a new approach, but an additional yesod in Malachas Mavir. Feeding a fire, fueling a fire is Mavir. Taking fuel away from a fire, it is always zelo umazeh. The opposites, that is defined as mechaba. Adding fuel to a fire is malachas mavir. And why is that? Why is that? Because as I explained before, when I tried to define Ovis and Toldus, a malacha is not only about essence, it is also about derech asiyas hamalacha, and therefore, besides putting on a fire, derech ha'olam is to adding fuel to fires. Especially in days of yore, we had no technology. We didn't use electricity. It was essential, and people all the time needed to add fuel. You had a fireplace. You needed to stoke that fire. You needed to fuel and to feed that fire, because when you put on a fire, if you don't feed additional fuel, sooner or later the fire will go out. And therefore, feeding fuel to an existing fire is malachas mavir. Even though right now there's enough fuel, and when I put on additional wood into the fireplace, the fire is not becoming bigger immediately, but that is defined as malachas mavir. Removing fuel from an existing fire is defined as malachas mechaba, and that is the shit of the Rosh. So therefore, adding fuel, taking fuel, is mavir and mechaba. It is not gram avora or gram kibui, because that is derech avora and derech kibui. And therefore, that is part of malachas mavir and mechaba. That is the Minchas Sosher's opinion and approach and explanation in Shittas HaRosh, and I think there is no other sensible Hesber B'Divrei HaRosh. It's what we explained. So today we dealt with one of the very special of the Lamatas Malochas, the only one of the Malochas that has a Lav Vifnei Asmoi at the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, Lo Yisavaru Eish B'chol Moish V'Yiseichem, and we dealt with two different opinions, the Avnei Nezer, Shulchan Aruch Harav, and my approach was somewhat of a compromise. Ve'agav darkeinu, we explained some yesoides, some halacha shein tzricha legufo, and then we went on to explain Shittas HaRosh, which is a yesoid, and an additional yesoid in Mavir and Mechaba. So I don't think it's a different basic approach. I think the Rosh would agree to our basic approach. Mavir is producing fire, or producing heat. But the addition of the Rosh is feeding fuel, even though you're not making the fire bigger or smaller immediately, but adding, feeding a fire is mavir, and taking fuel away from a fire is defined as mechaba. Yes.
In modern situation where one would move to Shabbos Chag one way or the other, that if I go into Rosh would be a problem, Abderaisa.
That's a very good question. No, I do not think. I'm dafka makel with tampering with Shabbos clocks. I don't recommend it, because many times, you know, you're just out of making a mistake and you might put it on or off immediately. Therefore, I think one should do his best not to tamper and play around with Shabbos clocks. But b'shas atzorech, I think one definitely could make the existing situation last longer. Reb Shmuel Zalman is makel. I think b'mokom atzorech you could even make it shorter. That would be defined as a grama. Grama locha, according to most Rishonim, is muta lachatchila. The Ramon Shin Lamedalad is machmikish of the Samordechai, is muta b'mokom hefsid. Not necessarily hefsid merube, any hefsid. And the poiskim say, tsar is the equivalent to hefsid. So if there's a need, for instance, you forgot to put on the Shabbos clock, and the lights are going to be on in your bedroom all night, you or your children will not be able to sleep. That is a significant tsar, and it's a bit of earning Shabbos. I think one could adjust the Shabbos clock that the lights should go off at a certain time. You just need to be very careful not to do it immediately, not just to give it some time. According to the Rosh, would that be mamish amalocha? I don't think so, because it's not similar to the situations in which you're putting in fuel or taking out fuel. In a way, it is similar, but I think the way people see it, it's not like a fireplace or a ner, you're taking out shemen or adding on shemen, and therefore I think adjusting a Shabbos clock would be considered as a grama. And in the situations in which we are makel b'grama, we would be makel in adjusting Shabbos clocks as well. Yes. First of all, it's not a milsud pshita that mechamei metechas is avor. I just forgot to mention that the Ravid disputes the Rambam's opinion. Yes, but the Rambam does say, Mechame mesametechas chayev mishamavir. The Ravid writes, mevashel, not mavir. That's a different approach. And maybe the Ravid and the Rambam, maybe the machlokes would be Aven Ezra or Shulchan Aruch Harav. So the Ravid feels that mavir would be consuming. And he disagrees with the Aven Ezra that told us mavir doesn't necessarily need to have the essence of mavir. I just didn't want to go into the Rambam and the Ravid. But according to the Ravid, it's mevashel and not mavir. But I want to answer your question. The Teretz is very simple. Producing heat is mavir. Taking advantage of heat is not mavir. So when you mevashel bechama, you're not producing heat, you're taking advantage of heat. And therefore, that would not be mavir. You're cooking water or heating food by taking advantage of, you are not producing a heating element. Mavir is producing fire or producing heat. So when you cook b'shemesh, you're not producing it. Let me explain. The Rambam says, only mechamem mateches chayev mishum mavir. Mechamem anything else would not be mavir. It is only because mateches is used as a heating element. Because metals sustain heat. Okay. Because there's another rule in mevashel, which is only told us Eish. And I think the same would refer to Mavio, just like Mevasho. Only told us Eish. And that is why using fire to heat Mateches, that would be mavia.
Why is that so obvious? We were told about. What's the difference between heating the element? Are you doing electricity and heating the element? Are you doing shamish?
That is a very good question. That is a very good question in which I don't really have a definitive response. Because would heating matches al yedei shemesh would be defined as mavia? Maybe. Maybe yes. My guess would be no. But it's not obvious. Because what we do find is mevashel b'chama is not mevashel. We do not find a sugya dealing with malachas mavia. So would using the heat of the sun to heat up mateches would be mavia? Maybe yes, according to the Rambam. My guess would be, just like ein bishul ela ba'ur, ein mavir ela ba'ur. But then you would be right. Using electricity to heat an element would not be mavia. Because why would electricity be different than any other natural source, which is not fire? Because the flow of electrons, why would that be defined as fire? So I think you're right. And this is a very interesting discussion, and I thank you for bringing it up. Because it is something that I myself just developed right now as we are conversing, as we are discussing. And I need to write this. I hope to write it down tonight. Thank you. So as I said, we start off with Parshas Vayakhel, and now let us discuss the very first pasuk in Parshas Pekudei. Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan Hu Eidus. Why is the Mishkan defined as Mishkan Eidus? Rashi writes, Eidus li Yisrael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Moichel the Chetu Egel, because there was Zeichet to Ashros Hashchino. But other Rishonim explain very simply, the Eidus is the Luchos. And that is the essence of the Mishkan. Just like the Oren is defined, Aroin Ho Eidus, the Mishkan in a broader sense is Mishkan Ho Eidus, which seems to indicate, of all the Kalim in Beis HaMikdash, first and foremost is Kodesh HaKodeshim, the Oren and Luchos Ho Eidus. So it's a dilemma, actually a paradox, because the Oren is not Ma'akev. In Bayis Sheni there was no Oren. And it still was a Beis HaMikdash. They had a Shos HaShchina. All the Avoides. Even Avoides Kohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippurim was performed without the Luchos and without the Oren. But nevertheless, it is the cornerstone and the most important element in the Beis HaMikdash. After all, it is the only thing that was in Kodesh HaKodeshim Alev and Ashasio. So yes, it's not Ma'akiv in Beis HaMikdash, because all the Avoides could be performed without the Oren. You can't have a Tuvas and Eidus of Adlakosin without the Menorah. You can't have Karbonus without the Mizbech HaChitzin. You can't have Teres without the Mizbech HaPnimi. And you can't have Lechem HaPonim without the Shulchan. You could do everything without the Oren. But having said that, still, the Mishkan, especially the Mishkan Shebemidbar, was defined as Mishkan Eidus. And Eidus means Luchos Eidus. And just like the Oren is defined as Aroin Eidus, the Mishkan is Mishkan Eidus. And why is that? It is because of the profound association and kesher between Matan Torah and Asiyas HaMishkan. And Binyan Beis HaMikdash. I think in Parshas Truma I mentioned the Ramban. What is the Mishkan all about? The same Ashros HaShchina that was on Har Sinai moves over to Har HaMoriah. The Eish that burned on the top of the mountain, V'har Boya Be'esh, is the Eish Shal Gabi HaMizbeach. Because Ashros HaShchina and Har Sinai was only about the Luchos. Those same Luchos are in Kodesh HaKodesh. That is the Namban in Parshas Truma. And the Medrash says, Tana de Be'eliyo, Perek Yud Zayin, B'shoshek dimu yesu anasa l'nishma, Omer HaKodesh Bochu v'yosu li migdash v'shulchanti v'soichu. And the B'nai HaSoscha brings this Medrash in a few different places in his forum, and he calls it the Medrash Pliya. Are you familiar with Medrash Pliyas? Most of them, lo yehoyu v'lo nivro v'einam el ha-moshol, person had a pshetl, so he made up a medrash. Most of them don't really exist. So the B'nai HaSoscha calls this a medrash pliya, and I don't think it's a medrash pliya at all. I think it's one of the pushets, the medrash. B'shal shomer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'shal shomri yisor, higdimu yisor nasa nishma, omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yosil yimigdash. Doesn't the Mishnah say, the very last Mishnah, Masechet Tanis, Tzeeno or Eno Benois Yerushalayim Biyoim Chasunoso Ubiyoim Simchas Liboy Biyoim Chasunoso Zaman Tori Biyoim Simchas Liboy Zebin Yebeis Amigdash. So Matan Tori is a chasana, but the real simcha starts off after the chasana. Sheva Brochas. According to the Beis Yosef, you don't say Sheva Brochas only Bebeis Chasnus. That is the Beis Amigdash. That's the Beis Chasnus. That is the home of the newlyweds, of what we call in Eretz Yisrael, Hazug HaTzayiyah. That is their home. That is the Beis Chasnus. The Medrash says in Parshas Truma, Moshe Lamado V'doyma, Lamelech Shehois Eloi Bas Yechido Ahuvo. He had an only daughter, and he loved her with all his heart. And then a prince comes along, and he asks for his daughter, and the king is so happy. He's a wonderful boy. So before the chasana, the king calls his son-in-law and he says, I want you to know, I'm happy that you're getting married. Loi melecho, al tis'eno, eini yochel. You know, I was happy to give my daughter to you. Lefroi shmi meno, eini yochel, that I can't live without her. All I ask for, the king said, wherever you decide to live, have a room for me as well, so I could always come and visit and enjoy and bask in, you know, in your presence and be together with my beloved daughter. And that is the Torah. Because the Torah is designated for you. It was created for you. You are made for the Torah, and the Torah is made for you. Wherever you will be, have a place for me, and I want to be together with you. So Chazal, this beautiful Moshe, explained the association, the kesha between Nasa v'Nishma v'Yosili Mikdash. They are the same. It is only because we really accepted the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to dwell amongst us, like the king that cannot depart from his daughter. He's happy she's getting married. He's happy with his son-in-law. He's a wonderful boy. But he wants to be together with his children. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says. And in Parshas Truma, there's another beautiful Medrash, as beautiful as the first. And the Medrash says, as long as the king's daughter isn't married, anyone that wants to visit the king, even his future son-in-law, has to come to the palace. That's what protocol demands. You want to see the king? Make the effort. Stand in line. But after the marriage, no, it's family. And a king is also a father. Family has different rules. So the Medrash says, Ad shelo nitnu toiro v'moshe olo el ha'elukim. Moshe had to go up to the heaven to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'yachash el in toiro v'yosi limigdash v'shulchanti b'soichom. It is only by Matan Torah that we became family. Protocol isn't relevant when it comes to family. So, Ad Shelo Nitnu Torah, Moshe was the greatest of them all. But even Moshe Rabbeinu, you need to see the king, v'moshe olo elo elokim. That is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu dwells. Liyachashen in the Torah, all the rules change. Now it's family. And if it's family, v'yosi limigdash v'shulchanti b'soichom. And the king wants to be with us. And that is why, v'shosh ha'gdima yisu anas ala nishma, omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yosi limigdash v'shulchanti b'soichom. And therefore, the Mishkan is Mishkan U'edus. It is all about those luchos. It is all about the luchos and Kodesh HaKodeshim. If not for those luchos, there would be no Beis HaMikdash. If not for those luchos, if not for Matan Torah, which their embodiment and manifestation is the luchos, there would be no need for Adlokos Aneas, for Klavos Kabonis, for nothing. Kodesh Baruch Hu would be happy up there. The reason he's down here is because and that is why the Mishkan is defined as Mishkan who ate us. So he say, Yehirotzim alfonecho, Shiyabona beis amigdash b'meiru imenu, v'sein chalkeinu v'sarusecho, because binyan beis amigdash, and sein chalkeinu v'sarusecho, are two sides of the same coin. And the only reason we have a beis amigdash is Kabbalah Satoyah. So we say every day, three times a day, in Tfilas Amidah, Hashivenu ovinu leserosecho vekorvenu malkeinu liavoidosecho. People don't realize, but this brocha indicates that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our king because of avoida. He is our father because of Torah. And that is why we say, Hashivenu ovinu leserosecho vekorvenu malkeinu liavoidosecho. So the association between Malchus and Avoida is simple. Goes without saying. Malchus and Avdus, two sides of the same coin. What is Avdus about if not Avoida? Servants have to serve. Slaves have to work. So that goes without saying. It's poshut. Korveinu Malkeinu le'avoida secho. Malchus and Avdus is all about Avoida. But why do we say Hashiveinu Ovinu L'Serosecha? It is only by Kabbalah Satoyah that we became family. And the relationship between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu was forever changed. Forever changed for eternity. Up to Matan Torah we were Avodim. It is only by Matan Torah that we became family. And that is Hashiveinu Ovinu L'Serosecha. I think some time ago, I discussed the Mishnah Perek Gimel of Masechet Avos, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Mishnah Yud Ches. Chav Avodim Shenivro B'Tzelem. Chiv Yaseid and Adas L'Avodim Shenivro B'Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv Nisol Shenikru Bonim L'Mokim. Chiv Yaseid and Adas Nisol Shenikru Bonim L'Mokim. And then the Mishnah goes on. Chaviv Nisol Shenitin Lehem Klei Chemdo. Chiv Yaseid and Adas Nisol Shenitin Lehem Klei Chemdo. The Tosis Yom Tov, Medrash Shmuel, Teferes Yisrael, all explain. The Reisha refers to all human beings, regardless of race, gender, religion. All human beings were created B'Tzelem Elokim, and that is Chovev Odom Shenevra B'Tzelem. Might be a surprise to some of you, but Odom Rishon wasn't Jewish. Neither was Noach. Neither was Shem. And many times I say the first Rosh Hashiva was Avraham Avinu. Avraham Zukam V'Yoshev Yeshiva. And all the time people ask me, no, it was Shem. Yaakov Avinu learned, you down at Shonim Bebei Shem Ve'Ever. And I say, yes, yes. But that was not a Jewish yeshiva. That was a Goyish yeshiva. Because Shem and Ava weren't Jewish. That's a fact. So what type of yeshiva? Like the Talmud faculty in the University of Yerushalayim, you know, probably some type of yeshiva, like, you know, there's a Fakulta le Talmud in Harvard, in Yale. That was something similar to the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever. It wasn't Jewish. The first Jewish yeshiva was Avraham Avinu. Zokan v'yoshev be yeshiva. So, Hashuveinu Avinu. So the Mishnah says, Chov Avodim Shenivra B'Tzelem, and that refers to every human being. Why do we stand apart? Where are we different? Where are we the chosen people? Chavivin Yisol Shenikru Bonim L'Mokrim. And why is that? Chavivin Yisol Shenitan Lehem Klei Chemdo. Nitan Lehem Klei Chemdo. So the Torah is Nimshal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's daughter. And we are married into the king's family when we accepted the Torah. So one additional comment, which is not in Chazal, but that's my feeling, following the footsteps of Chazal. So the king tells his new Adam, his new son-in-law, I'm so happy you're getting married, but I have one request. I love my daughter so dearly, I cannot without her. Toi vizu asu imi, kol mokam shatam oilchem, kitnanecho tasuli, va'ogerem mochem. So most of us have married children. And when they love each other and there's harmony in the family, it's really a pleasure to stay with them. Chas v'sholem. I'm not a Bal Nisoyin. Don't start thinking, Baruch Hashem, I have great children. But I am aware when there is no harmony between the young couple and there really isn't much love there and there's some animosity, it's very unpleasant to stay with them. It's not really pleasant. So you come for a Shabbos and you're just waiting for Tzeisak Yechoven, you know. Let's get home. No, it's not pleasant to stay with a couple when they're arguing and when it's obvious that there really is no harmony between them. So you prefer to stay away. So if the soid of Ashroas Ashchina is Lifrish Mimeno Eini Yochoil, we could also understand the soid of Churban Habayis, the soid of Siluk Ashchina. So when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, and it was out of total devotion and dedication and love of Torah, Higdimu Nasa L'Nishma, it is then that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Lifrish Mimena Eini Yochel, I want to be together with you, I'll have so much nachas, it'll be such a pleasure staying with you. But when time came and there was no longer much harmony left, and there obviously wasn't much love between that couple, and what defined the relationship was total discord and disharmony. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, maybe it's time to go back home. It's no longer pleasant to stay in this house amongst them. So that's the other side of the same coin. And that is the side of Binyan Habayis and Ashroas Hashchina, the side of Churban Habayis. So when we will once again renew our dedication and our devotion and our love to Torah, it is then that we will be Zaycha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again, Yashu Shechinos HaBetziyah, now we will be Zaycha Yerotzon, Shia Bona Beis HaMikdosh B'mheiru V'yameinu V'sei Chalkeinu V'sayru Secha V'sham Navodcho B'yiru K'meyoyle M'chashonam K'dmoyni Yois B'bi Azgoyal Tzedek B'mheiru V'yameinu Amen.
Russian is that since people usually add and take away fire, that just the tour of the fire.